Okay.
So we're beginning the Masechta Tamid of Hey Amid Beis. The Masechta Tamid and also Midas, which we'll get to next, Bez Hashem, are basically, they're kind of different than the rest of Seder Kodshim that we've been working through so far. First of all, there's very little halachas in them, in the sense that, I mean, a lot of what it describes is paskin as halacha by the Rambam, but it's not so much halacha how something should be done, but rather how things were done on a day-to-day basis in Beis Mikdash. Masechta Tamid, Tamid means constant, so it deals with the constant, the daily activities that they did in the Beis Mikdash for the, particularly for the morning Tamid and all the avodas before and after it. So the Rambam describes it. It's not so much halacha, it's more sipur dvarim ba'alma. It's like a recounting of how things are supposed to be done. It seems also that this Masechta, along with Midas, along with Parshas of Yuma, etc., it seems that they were first composed after the Churban, because as long as the Beis Mikdash is standing, you don't need these halachas composed and written down. You go to the Beis Mikdash, you see what's done. After the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, then it needed to be composed and written down so that we don't forget it. And the idea is it's not just Sifur Dvarim Ba'alma, it's also, I mean, the reason why B'chlal is included in the Gemara and why it's included in Deak Yomi is because after all, you have a myth, you know, we know Kol Ha'Osik V'Torah Ta'Ola, Kila Rikruv Ola, you learn the halachas of a korban as if you brought that korban, and this way also, so we learn these halachas and these Sifur Dvarim of how they did things in the Beis Mikdash, then it makes us look forward more, makes us yearn for more for the times of Mashiach and for the Beis Mikdash to be built so that all this can be done again. Okay, so the Mishnah starts out. First it's going to start talking about, we're going to talk about the daily seder of things in the Beis Mikdash. So the first thing to discuss, therefore, is we're going to talk about the guarding, the Kohanim and Leviim, as we're going to see, guarded, stood watch around the Beis Mikdash, and then after that, in the morning they begin the avodah. So therefore, the guarding is a natural place to begin. I should mention, by the way, it's worth mentioning, almost every detail of what we're going to learn in these Mishnayos, there's going to be quite a lot of different opinions among the Mefarshim about the exact details of it. So we'll do what we can with it. So the Mishnah starts off. It's also, by the way, useful if you look in the back of the Gemara. If you look near the end of the Gemara, you'll find a diagram of the layout of the second Beis Mikdash. It's labeled Tzuras Bayis Sheni, and it'll be useful to refer to it occasionally as we go through the Masechta. When we learn the Masechta Midas, we're going to need it much more because that talks about the actual floor plan of the Beis Mikdash. But in various places in Talmud, we're also going to be talking about various details of the structure of the Beis Mikdash. So therefore, it's going to be useful to refer to that diagram. Okay. So the Mishnah starts off. There were three places where the Kohanim would stand guard in the Beis Mikdash. You have one of the machlokas, and you have between the Rishonim, you have the Mefarish over here, which is printed instead of Rashi, holds that they guarded both by day and by night. The Rosh also writes similarly over here in his Pirush on the side over here. The Rambam, on the other hand, learns they only guarded at night. Anyway, so in three places, the Kohanim would guard. Number one, the Kohanim would stand guard in the Beis Mikdash. Number one, the Beis Avtinas. Number one is Beis Avtinas, is one of the chambers in the Beis Mikdash where they would prepare the Keturah. In the diagram, we can find it labeled.
Diagram in the scroll?
Well, if you have the art scroll diagram, so much the better. I was talking about actually the diagram that's labeled Tzuras Bayis Sheni. But okay, I guess if you have the art scroll diagram, so much the better. So the Beis Avtinas is actually, the Gemara in Yuma mentions Machlokas whether the Beis Avtinas was located on the north side or the south side of the Azara, The Rambam over here just says straight out that it was on the south side. But in the Gemara in Yoma, it actually questions that, whether it was on the south side or the north side. Anyway, that was one place where the Kohen would guard. Number two, Beis HaNissos. And number two is Beis HaNissos is one of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. It's also called Shaar HaNissos, as we'll learn about in Midas. You'll find it on the diagram in the northwestern corner of the Azara. It's the first gate, if you look next to the Heichel, you have over there a few gates. The one furthest to the west is Shaar HaNissos. If you're looking at the Suras Bayis Sheni diagram, it shows it was kind of like an achsadra, a portico built over it, because as we're going to say in the Mishnah, that's in fact how it was. There was a second story over there, which is where the Kohenim would guard. Why the gate was called Beis HaNissos, the Mefarish says over here, I don't know why. The Rosh says one reason is because it was built very open, as we're going to say, it was built like an achsadra, just with open pillars, and therefore the sun would shine very brightly in it. Nitzot means sparks, so like you'd have sparks of sunlight coming into it. Anyway, that was the second place, and the third one was Beis HaMoiked. The third one was in the Beis HaMoiked, which we're going to have a description of it later in the Mishnah, and also in Midas. You can see it also in the diagram on the north side of the Azara. It's a largish chamber with four smaller chambers opening into it. Okay, so those are the three places where the Kohenim would guard. We're going to learn briefly in the Gemara, and we're going to learn in more detail in Midas that there were also 21 places where Levim guarded. So our Mishnah is not really focusing on that, because our Mishnah is basically going to be focusing on the order of the day, on the order of how the Kohenim did the Avodah on a daily basis. So it's not as relevant to talk about where the Levim guarded, but we'll learn about that. We'll learn about that in Midas, Hashem.
Yeah, that the Shaar HaNissos, there was one Kohen and one Shaar
HaNissos. So the three places where the Kohenim guarded, we're saying, are Beis HaKinas here. So in Art Scroll, I found the Art Scroll diagram. In Art Scroll's diagram, it's labeled number 52, is the Beis HaKinas. Again, the Gemara in Yoma brings up the possibility that maybe it was actually on the north side of the Azara. Anyway, the other two, Shaar HaNissos, is labeled in their diagram, is labeled number 46. And Beis HaMoiked is that large building that's labeled over there, number 37.
Where's the Beis Mastinas? Mastinas. Where is it? I don't see it on this diagram.
Okay, so I guess we're using different diagrams. I don't know. I'm using the diagram in the Hebrew Art Scroll. So in the diagram that they have printed at the end of the standard Gemaras, not finding it right now. Oh, here we go. Samach Gimel. In the standard one is Samach Gimel. It's on the south side. It's on the south side of the Azara, like right in front of the Heichel. You have the Heichel, you have the Ulam, and then off to the side you have a little thing labeled Samach Gimel, which is Beis HaKinas. In Art Scroll's diagram, like I said, I'm using the one in the Hebrew Art Scroll. In there is labeled number 52. In yours, I'm not sure, but you should find it somewhere on the south side of the Azara. There should be a labeled chamber. Anyway. Okay, let's continue the Mishnah. The Beis HaKinas over Beis HaNissos Toyu Aliris. In Beis HaKinas and in Beis HaNissos, the first two places that we described where the Kohenim would guard, there were upper stories. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara, doesn't mean that those were two-story buildings, and you had the bottom floor was where they would have the actual Beis HaKinas, or the gate itself, and then above it you had a second story. Or is it that basically you had like sort of like a freestanding porch like you had a high up building on top of the Rosh Loans maybe in the Gemara, that maybe we're talking about something like there was a hill there, and then on top of it was a higher building for like a balcony to look out, or maybe that there were pillars. The Mefarish says the idea is we're going to learn in the Gemara that Kohenim are supposed to be sitting higher up in order to guard. So therefore, the base of Tinnis and the base of Nissus had to have these upper stories, or these superstructures built on top of pillars, or on top of a hill or whatever, in order for the Kohenim to guard this. Haroivim Shomrim Sham, and over there the Roivim would guard in those two places. What are Roivim? The Mefarish explains over here that Roivim are very young Kohenim, who are not old enough to do the Avodah yet. He says they're talking about that they're under 13 years old. Some of them are Mefarshim explain that they have to be older than 13, but they have to be younger than 20. Whatever it is, they're young. They're too young to do the Avodah yet. Therefore, they would be guarding in these. Therefore, they'd be standing watch in these two places. Beis Hamoked Kippa. Now, as far as the Beis Hamoked, the third place, the large chamber on the north side of the Azara, that was a dome. So the Mefarish explains over here it means, but similarly, like I said before, you had a dome built onto the ground, and then above it you had the building. Many of the other Mefarishim learned the other way around. I mean, the building was built at ground level, and it had a dome on top. Anyway, Ubeis HaGadol Haya, it was a large building, Mukaf Roves in Shal Evan, and it was surrounded by rows by steps of stone. So roivin means rows of stone, but it means, in other words, the Mefarish explains over here, we're talking about rows of stone that are sticking out of the wall to serve as steps. So what happens? Zikne base of Yeshenim Sham. So over there, the elders of the base of that was on duty the next day are sleeping over there. Meaning, in other words, so we're talking about these two different things. So some of the Mefarishim explain, it depends. Again, as I mentioned, you have a lot of different Mefarishim on the many different details over here. Some of them learn that what it means is that you have the Kohenim are standing guard, but even within standing guard, they're not necessarily standing guard for the entire 12 hours of the night, let's say. They have shifts, so some of them at various times are sleeping while others are standing guard. Others learn that maybe even they were allowed, maybe the difference is that Rambam, for example, right? Like when you have guards at a king's palace, they're not standing the whole time. They're allowed to lie down, but they lie down on the floor. They don't bring in beds, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. They didn't bring in beds because it wouldn't be derech eretz. So one way of looking at it is we're talking about the actual guard, some of the Kohenim themselves who are actually on guard that night, where during some of the time they're sleeping and during some of the time they're guarding. Other Mefarish will explain, and the Mefarish, for example, over here on the side, explains that what it means is we're talking about these two different groups. You have the ones who are guarding, who are standing watch on the Beis Mikdash. I should mention, by the way, the reason for the watch, I mean, we're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to find Sukkim, why they had to be standing watch over the Beis Mikdash. But basically, the idea is, I mean, aside from the fact that the Pasuk says so, the idea behind it is that the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that it's more respectable, for example, when a palace is being guarded by guards than when it's not being guarded. The White House has guards, Buckingham Palace has guards, so the same thing, it's respectful. So that this mixture, that there should always be some people standing watch, people standing guard there. It's not so much, the Mefarish stresses, it's not so much so that people don't break in or people don't steal anything or whatever, that we wouldn't be worried about. It's for the honor of the Beit Mikdash. Anyway, so when they were saying...
They were guards in very few places, in three or four places.
Well, so again, we're only dealing with the Kohenim over here. When we get to Masechta Midos, Best Hashem, next week, or thereabouts, we're going to learn that there were also a bunch of places, there were 21 places, where Leviim stood guard. Again, our Mishnah is not really focusing on it because our Mishnah wants to focus on the daily activities of the Kohenim, but we're going to learn that altogether there were 21 or 24 different places where they stood watch. Most of them were Levi. Worth mentioning, by the way, also Rav Levi Yitzchok, that his father has a long explanation about it in Torah Levi Yitzchok, Afi Kabbalah, about the contrast, the comparing and contrasting Masechta Talmud and Midas in this regard, and he mentions, among other things, that Talmud relates to the Kohenim, and Talmud relates to Chochma, which in turn is the source of Chesed, which is the attribute of the Kohenim, whereas Midas relates more to Gvura, where it relates more to Bina and Gvura, which is the attribute of the Levium, and therefore that's another reason why it focuses here on the Kohenim and there on the Levium, and he has a long explanation about it. Anyway. So when we say Zikne based of Yeshenim Sham, again, either it means that these Zikne based of, among them are some of the ones who are on duty to guard, to watch, but they're entitled to sleep during some of the time, so therefore they sleep there when it's not their shift. Or the idea is you have two different groups. You have the ones who are standing watch all night, or part of the night, whatever, and then you have the Kohenim who are going to be doing the Avodah the next morning, the based of that's on duty that day. So let's say, for example, you're talking about, let's say Monday night, for example, of a certain Mishmar. So you have the third based of that Mishmar is going to be serving the next day, because Tuesday, the third day of the week. So therefore, instead of they're going to be staying over in Yerushalayim and they're first going to come to the Beis Mikdash in the morning, and the Avodah starts really early in the morning, as we're going to learn, instead they would sleep over at the Beis Mikdash. So then the Zikne based of, according to that, would be sleeping there, would be sleeping on, so either it means they'd be sleeping on these roofs in Shal Evan, on these projecting step-like things that are sticking out from the walls, they would sleep over there. The Mefarish over here says, well, just differently, he says the things that were sticking out of the walls were more like steps to be able to climb up, to be able to go up to the levels where there would be niches in the walls for them to sleep. And he learned that they'd sleep in the niches. Okay. And the Zikne Beis Av had the keys of the Azara in their hands, not literally in their hands. I mean, they went to sleep holding the keys, but it means, in other words, the keys were under their control. As we're going to learn in the Masechta Midas, there was a floor tile over there that could be moved, and underneath it there was a key ring that the keys would be hanging on. So these Zikne Beis Av are in charge of those keys.
So the Zikne Beis Av,
the elder Kohenim of the Beis Av. So in other words, again, you have each Mishmar was divided into six or seven Bafei Av. So you have, the idea is that you have each week another Mishmar is serving, and each day within that week you have one Beis Av serving. They would only call on the other Bafei Av only if they were shorthanded, only if they didn't have enough people to handle all the korbanos. So let's say, for example, let's say the first Mishmar was named Yehoyari. So let's say it comes the first week, so it's the week of the Mishmar of Yehoyari. So all of them are coming to Yerushalayim. So now, Sunday of that week is the first Beis Av, Monday is the second, Tuesday the third, etc. And so Machlokes were showing him whether there were six Bafei Av and then all of them would share the Avodah on Shabbos, or whether there were seven Bafei Av and the seventh one would do the Avodah on Shabbos. Whatever it is, then Shabbos they would switch over, the next Mishmar named Yedaiah would come in, and the same thing repeats every week. So now what we're saying is, when you have, again, you have the members of the Beis Av who are on duty the next day, so you have the older Kohenim of that Beis Av and the younger ones. So the older ones would sleep on these stone projections from the wall, or according to Rashi, they would sleep on niches in the wall, and they would just use the stone projection, not Rashi, the Mefarish. That according to him, they would use the stone projections to climb up to niches in the wall where they would sleep. Pirche Kohona ish kistei ba'aretz. Meanwhile, the Pirche Kohona, the younger Kohenim, each of them would have their kistei on the ground. What is kistei? The Mefarish says over here that it means that they would have their own clothing. They would have their own clothing. They wouldn't sleep in the big day kahuna, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say. They would put on their own clothing, their own pajamas or whatever, and sleep there on the ground, as opposed to on the ledges, like the older Kohenim. The Rosh explains that kistoi means a pillow, so each of them would have his pillow on the ground, and they would lie on the ground over there and sleep. Again, the idea is, as the Gemara is going to say, it's not respectful to bring beds and the Rambam says it's like when people guard king's palaces, they don't sleep on beds, they sleep on the floor when it's not their shift. So they said they would sleep on the ground, and meanwhile the older Kohen would sleep on these ledges. Continues the Mishnah, Loi ho yushenim bevigdei kodesh, they would not sleep in the holy garments, in the clothes of the Kohenim, for reasons that we're going to learn in the Gemara. Ella, how you pushed in, and tachas yoshehem, they would take them off before they went to sleep. They would put them under their heads, or we're going to see in the heads, not necessarily not necessarily under their heads, but next to their heads. In fact, the Be'er Sheva refers to a Gemara elsewhere that says that when a person sleeps with his clothes under his head, I think it's a Gemara in Hodius, we learned that it's kosher l'shitcha. It's one of those things that makes you forgetful. So he says, how could we be saying over here they put him tachas yoshehem? So there's a number of different answers. One of them is indeed that it means they didn't put him literally under their head. Another answer is it doesn't apply if it's not your clothes, and these aren't their clothes. They belong to the Beth Mikdash, so they're the big dick owner. Anyway, they wouldn't sleep on them. They wouldn't sleep in them. They'd fold them up and put them on, they'd put them under or next to their heads. And they would put on their own private clothing in order to go to sleep. And then they would sleep there. By the way, I mean, we know you're not allowed to even sit in the Azara, much less to sleep there, but the Beis HaMoiked, if you look on the diagram over there, you can see half of it is inside the Azara and half of it is outside. Actually, again, you have different Mephoshim with different explanations, whether it was literally built like that, half inside and half outside. Everybody agrees that it had a door going into the Azara and a door going out of the Azara, which therefore the halacha is half of it is considered Kodesh and half of it is considered Chol. So therefore, only the Chol half would be where they would sleep. In my diagram over here, in the art school diagram, I don't know if they have it also in the English art school diagram, they actually show, you can see those ledges around the edges, and you see them only in half of the Beis HaMoiked, not in the other half.
Straddling the wall.
Yeah, around the walls, yeah. So you can see they're not around all four sides or all four corners, they're only around two of them, representing that that's where the Kohen would sleep. So again, on those ledges. So again, many of them, the Poroshim, understand that the older Kohenim are sleeping on those ledges and the younger Kohenim are sleeping on the floor next to them. The Mephardish over here explains nobody is sleeping on the ledges. They're just using them as steps to go to climb up where there are niches in the walls where the older Kohenim are sleeping. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. What if one of these Kohenim was sleeping there overnight? What if he has keri? What if he has a seminal emission, which makes him tummy? So what do? So he would leave the Beit HaMoiked and he would go out by Mesiba in the Mesiba, which is the Mefarish over here explains that a Mesiba is a spiral staircase going underground. The Rosh over here explains that it means a tunnel. Vashris, I guess it could be both. Spiral staircase that leads to a tunnel, whatever. This spiral staircase or this tunnel extends under the Bira. The Gemara in a number of places talks about what the Bira means. It's machlokes of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, whether Bira means the whole Beit Mikdash complex or whether it means a specific building in the Beit Mikdash, which was called the Bira. Anyway, whatever, this tunnel ran under the Bira. The Neiris Dokin Mikana Mikan, there are candles burning, or candles, lamps rather, whatever, burning on both sides, so you can see his way. And by the way, it's interesting, you know, they haven't done a lot of archaeological digging on the Har HaBayis itself for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that the Muslims won't let it. But there have been little bits and pieces where they've been able to do around under the edges of the Har HaBayis. They actually did find some years ago a tunnel similar to the one described in the Mishnah over here with niches in the walls for lamps. But it's not necessarily the same tunnel, but it's still, it shows that there's an example of such a tunnel that actually ran under the Beis Mikdash and had niches in the walls for lamps, so you can see your way. Anyway, so this Kohen who became Tomei with Tumas Keri is going through this tunnel or through the spiral staircase. He has lamps over there to light his way. Ad Shumagir Beit HaTvila, until he gets to the mikveh. There was a mikveh there. There was a mikveh there underground. And by the way, the idea is, now how is he allowed to be in these tunnels or in this mikveh if he's Tomei? The answer is because the dinim about the Gemara is going to talk later on that the tunnels under the Beis Mikdash are not necessarily Kodesh. It depends actually whether the entrance and exit to them is in the more holy parts of the Beis Mikdash or not. In this case, what they had is the exit, the stairway down to this tunnel began in one of the outer chambers of the Beis HaMoiked. If you look in the diagram again, you'll see in my diagram in the Hebrew art scroll labeled number 41 is the small chamber of the Beis HaMoiked from which you would go down into this tunnel. So that's outside the Azara. the tunnel, therefore, also doesn't have the kedusha of the Azara. Therefore, this Kohen with the Baal Keri is allowed to be there. Then he would go through this tunnel till he gets to the Mikra, and he would travel. Umedura Hoytasham, there was a bonfire burning over there. The idea for the bonfire is that after he tovels, remember in those days they didn't have heated mikvahs, all mikvahs were cold. So after he tovels in the mikvah, he's cold. He needs to dry off and warm up. So therefore they had a fire burning for that purpose. There was also a bathroom of honor. So what does it mean of honor? What was the special honor? What was the special thing that they did to make it more dignified? And the reason why there had to be a bathroom, one point is, the Rosh says, we said the person is Tomei because he's a Baal Keri. He had a seminal omission. That's why he's needing to be in the first place. Now, the Gemara tells us, we learned about this in Cholin, actually, and the Mishnah mentions in Mikvos, that if a person has an emission of Keri, of Shechmas Zera, and then afterwards he goes to the mikvah without first urinating, then there's a problem because maybe not all the Shechmas Zera came out, and now when he urinates, more of it is going to come out, and he's going to become Tomei again. Therefore, it's important that he goes to the bathroom before he toivels. Yes, it is. It makes the person Tomei. Another point also, Rashi elsewhere also talks about an idea. There's a Mishnah in Yuma that mentions that if a Kohen urinated, then he had to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before he does the Avodah. But if he defecated, then he had to actually tovel. So therefore, here he had an idea. Then they had a bathroom over here. If they need to defecate, and then right next door is a mikveh so that they can tovel and then return to the Avodah. Anyway, this Baal Keri would use this mikveh. Beforehand, he would use the bathroom. So we said it was a basic kisesh or cupboard. There was a special thing of dignity in it. What was the special dignity of this bathroom? Mosei Noel, if you found it locked, if when you came down there, you found it locked, then you know somebody is inside. Now, nowadays, you know, we take it as a given. Of course, a bathroom has a door and it has a lock. But in those days, it wasn't a very common thing. Most people used to usually, there weren't any regular bathrooms for the most part. Usually, you just do whatever you needed to out in the field or in the local dump or whatever. So here, there was a special thing, shel kavod, that it had a door and it had a lock. And this way, if it's locked, then you know somebody is in there. Pasuach b'yadur shein shamadim. If it's open, you know nobody's in there. And the point is, The point is the Gemara in Bracha says it's really not proper to talk in the bathroom or even to make noises in the bathroom. So you can get into the question whether all bathrooms are considered to have the same din as the bathrooms in those days because they flush, whatever. Without getting into that, the point is the Gemara tells us over there in Brachas, for example, I think we're also going to have it in our Gemara actually that ideally you should have that if you need to go to the bathroom and you want to find and somebody is in there, then you shouldn't even you should do it in such a way that you don't even have to make noise basically. Because that's talk, which can make a noise. Yeah, we're gonna have it in the Gemara on Chof Zayin Amud Beis. So to have to talk over there is not really in the bathroom is not really proper. So therefore, they had this arrangement over here with this particular bathroom. That this way, you had a door with a lock over there, and this way, nobody has to talk while they're sitting on the toilet. Okay. Anyway, so that was the deal. Yorad b'tovel. So this Kohen who was a Baal Keri goes down to that mikveh through this winding staircase, through this tunnel, whatever. He goes down there and tovels. All of an istapa. He comes out of the mikveh and dries himself off. V'nischam k'neged amadura, and then if he wants, he can warm himself up by the fire. Bav yoshev lo eto echav akoyim. At that point, what he can do is go back to the Beit HaMoked and sit together there with the other koyim ad shehoyu asha'orim niftochim, ad shehoyu asha'orim niftochim, until the doors, until the gates of the Beit HaMikdash are opened in the morning. And then yotzev aholach lo, at that point he leaves and goes out of the Har HaBayis. Because really, a Baal Keri is not allowed to be in the Har HaBayis. So therefore, so the idea is that the various Mefoshim over here say, when it's in the middle of the night, fine. I mean, the Mefarish mentions over here, the Rosh mentions over here, there's a Tosfos and Yevamos that talk about it, that Midaraisa, a Baal Keri is not allowed to be in the Azara. Midrabbanon, he's also not allowed to be in, Midrabbanon, he's also not allowed to be in the Har HaBayis in general. But that's only midrabbanan, and therefore they therefore be here when it's in the middle of the night, and the poor guy just had Terry and went to the mikveh. They're not going to make him leave the Bet Mikdash in the middle of the night, especially he may not even be able to, or the gates are closed. So like this, they allow him to go back into the Bet Mikdash. True, he's in the Harabayas, and he's still about Kerry, but okay, you know, at least it's a dispensation that they give him. Also, the Rosh brings another explanation from the Ri, that since he became Tomei in the Bet Mikdash, then there's more grounds for leniency. Whatever it is, he goes back to the Bet Mikdash, he sits together there with the other Kohenim, and then in the morning when the gates are open, then he's able to leave, so then he leaves, and he doesn't come back until he's Tahor, until he's had a head of Shemesh. So he can't do the Avodah the rest of that day. The Mefarish points out over here another point also, besides the fact he leaves, practically speaking, he has nothing to do over there because he can't do the Avodah. There's also, you don't want him to stick around because he may forget that he's still a Tzvul Yoim and do the Avodah, because the Avodah is so precious to him as a Kohen that he may jump ahead and do it and forget that he's a Tzvul Yoim and he's not allowed to. So therefore, better let him leave as soon as possible. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Mishu roitza litrim esam esdeach. Next. Okay, so now so we've talked about what the Kohenim are doing over there, guarding, standing watch by night, and we talked about what happens if one of them becomes a Balkari. Now, whoever wants to Trumas Hadeshen, now, there's obviously only going to be one person who ends up doing Trumas Hadeshen, but you're going to have a lot of Kohenim are vying for the privilege. So what do they have to do? Mashkin b'tovel. He has to get up early and tovel, because you have to tovel after sleeping, because you might have you have to tovel in general, you have a Mishnah in Yuma that says nobody is allowed to go into the Bet Mikdash to do the Avodah until they tovel. The Gemara explains that there was actually a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, because this way, in case the person is Tomei and had forgotten about it, this way the fact that he has to tovel will remind him. So the point is, therefore, so he has to tovel. So if he wants to be ready, so you can't have when they say it's time for Trumas Hadeshen, and then you're going to hurry up and tovel. He has to tovel ahead of time in order that he's ready. Ad shelo yovei hamemuna, before the memuna shows up. Memuna means a person in charge. So this is the Kohen, many of the Mephoshim explain that specifically what it means is this is the Kohen who is in charge of the pious, who is in charge of the lottery that will determine which Kohen is going to do which Avodah. So there was a Kohen in charge of that. In Shkolim, the Mishnah gives them a name, Matthew ben Shmuel, whatever. So some of the Mephoshim say that we're talking about over here. Other, the Rosh over here says that maybe what it means is not specifically about the pious. He's more generally, he's the one responsible for handing out the tasks in the Bet Mikdash. Anyway, so when he comes, it's going to be time. But so he's going to tell them it's time for Trumas Hadeshen. So therefore, any Kohen who wants to be eligible to be picked for Trumas Hadeshen has to go in Tovel before the Memunah shows up. Okay, so you have to ask, so what time is this Mamuna going to come? Is there a particular time that he's going to come so the Kohenim know in advance to Tovel before that? So the answer is no. The answer is not all times are the same. He didn't always come at the exact same time. Sometimes he would come at the time of Kreuz HaGever, which the Gemara in Yuma mentioned two opinions what Kreuz HaGever is. One, it means when the rooster crows, and the other, it means when the word gever, as we know, we just the other day, was before Yom Kippur, and we did kaparis, and it says one reason why we use a chicken for kaparis is because a rooster, particularly, is called gever, which is also a word in Hebrew for a man. So kreis hagever can mean the calling of the rooster, can mean the crowing of the rooster. It can also mean the calling of the man. Namely, the Gemara tells us in Yuma and in Shkolim that there was a person, his name was Dvini, in the Bet Mikdash, whose job it was to make the announcements. His job was to call out when it's time for the Kohenim to start their Avodah, when it's time for the Levim to start their Avodah, etc. So the other opinion in the Gemara and Yuma is that kreis hagever is when that person would do his call. Anyway, so the point is, we're saying that the Mamuna would come, sometimes he'd come at Kreuz HaGever, or he might come a little bit before it or a little bit after it. The point is, in other words, he wouldn't come in the middle of the night. So therefore, a Kohen who's staying over there with the Bet Mikdash because he wants to do the Avodah in the morning, he wants to do Trumas Hadeshen, he knows he doesn't have to go to Tovel as early as midnight, let's say. But he does have to tell you, no, he has to tovel a reasonable amount of time before Alois HaShachar, before the rooster crows, or before Gvini starts his announcement, because otherwise he's going to be too late. The Rosh has a different explanation over here, that what it means is, the Rosh says, the Mishnah in Yuma tells us that normally they would do Trumas HaDeshen at Alois HaShachar, but on Yom Kippur they would do it earlier, and on Yom Tovim they would do it even earlier. So therefore, so the Mishnah is telling us over here that you should know most of the year you could expect the Mamuna to come at Alois HaShachar, and therefore you'd have to make sure to be ready by then. But you should know if it's Yom Kippur or if it's Yom Tov, then you have to be ready even earlier than that.
Oh, early isn't.
Well, so the Mishnah in Yuma over there says that on Yom Kippur they would do the Trumas HaDeshen at Chatzos HaLaila. And on Yom Tovim, they would do it the Sof HaShmura HaRishona at the end of the first watch of the night. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that there were either three or four watches in the night. So the first watch would be, let's say, on a night when the sun sets at 6 and rises at 6, then the Sof HaShmura HaRishona would be 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Anyway, but the rest of the year, generally, they would do it at Alois HaShachar. So the Rosh learns over here that what the Mishnah is saying is that generally the Kohen only has to be ready at Alois HaShachar. That's when the Mamuna is going to show up. But you should know, if it's Yom Kippur or if it's Yom Tov, then he has to be ready much earlier in the night. And again, the other Mephoshim over here just say that it means that the Mamuna is not necessarily going to show up exactly at the time of Kreutz HaGever, which is Alois HaShachar. He might be a few minutes earlier, he might be a few minutes later, but basically it's going to be around that time. Okay. When the Mamuna comes, HaMamuna Ba B'Dofak Aleihem, so now the Mamuna comes and knocks on the door, the Hein Kos Kuloi, and the Kohenim are inside the Beis HaMoked, open up the door for him. The Mephoshim actually says, what?
Mamuna, was it Kohen himself?
The Mamuna himself was probably was a Kohen. I don't know that he was required to be Alpi Halacha, but practically speaking, he probably was. But in any case, the Mefarish over here on the sides of the Gemara learns that actually Mamuna didn't stay overnight in the Beis Hamikdash. He had a house in Yerushalayim, like all the other officials of the Beis Hamikdash. So in the morning, he would come and first knock on the doors of the Harabayis, and whoever is guarding around the Harabayis, as we're going to learn in Midas, there were Levium guarding around the perimeter of the Harabayis as well. So they would open up for him. And then he would come to the Beis Hamikdash and knock over there, and the Kohenim who are inside there would open up for him. The Rosh says, never mind that. The Rosh says, we're just talking about he may have stayed on the Harabayis overnight. And therefore, it's just he knocks on the door of the Beis HaMoked and the Kohenim open. Okay. Amar lahem, then the Mamuna says to the Kohenim, Mi shetoval, whoever has toiled and therefore is eligible for Trumas HaDeshen, Yavoi v'yafus, let him come and join in the lottery, and we're going to determine who actually gets the mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshen. Actually, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that wasn't always how it was. Originally, the Mishnah tells us what they used to do is they would have, if there were, either you would have only one Kohen who wanted to do it, and then automatically he does it, or if there were many Kohen who wanted to do it, then they would have a foot race up the ramp of the Mizbeach, and whichever one won the foot race would be the one to do Trumas HaDeshen. Eventually, though, one time it happened that one Kohen injured another, and therefore, that's the whole story over there, and therefore they made it that there's going to be a pious, that there's going to be this lottery. The Gemara in Yom also describes over there how they did it, is that they had the Kohenim stand in a circle. Each one sticks out a finger. The Mamuna thinks of some large number, larger than the number of Kohenim over there, counts the fingers around the circle, because you know you're not allowed to count Jews directly, and whichever one the number lands on is the one who sticks. So they made the lottery, Zocha Misha Zochabai, Misha Zocha Zochabai, and whoever was Zoicha is the one who was Zoicha, and he would be the one to do the Trumas HaDeshen, and the next Mishnah is going to describe how exactly he went about doing the Trumas HaDeshen. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. And by the way, an interesting point we should mention about the Gemara on this Masechta, we don't have Gemara to the entire Masechta. The Masechta consists of 7 parakim. We only have Gemara on the first parak, the second, and the fourth parak. Why it is that we're missing Gemara on the third parak and on the fifth, sixth, and seventh, nobody really knows. You also have, by the way, there's some indications that maybe the Gemara on our Masechta is actually not from the original Gemara that was arranged by Ravina and Ravashi. Maybe it was arranged in the times of the Rabbanan Sevaroi or the Uli Goinim, whatever. Anyway, without getting, okay, let's not get too far into that. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Menohani Mili. Where do we know that you have a mitzvah to stand watch in the Bis Mikdash? The Gemara says, I'm going to buy it. Omar Krah, because like this, you have a pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar that says like this: "V'achonim lifnei hamishkan." Those who camped in front of the Mishkan. Now we know you have the order of how the Jewish people camped in the Midbar. You have the 12 shvatim three shvatim on each side. Then further in, around the Mishkan, you had the three families of Levim, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, are camped on three sides of the Mishkan. And then on the east side, it says, V'achonim lifnei HaMishkan Kedma, the ones who are camped in front of the Mishkan on the east side, lifnei Oyo Moed Mizracha, in front of the Oyo Moed to the east, because they're called in front, because the entrance to the Mishkan only had one entrance, and it was on the east. So who was camped over there? Moshe V'Aaron Ivanov, Moshe and Aaron and his sons, Shomrim Mishmeres HaMikdash, they are guarding guarding the watch of the Mikdash, the Mishmeres Bnei Yisrael, for a watch for Bnei Yisrael. So therefore we see that there have to be people standing watch by the Mishkan and by the Mikdash. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amri, so the Bnei Yeshiva said, Ein, well sure, Shimur Ba'alma Ashkechon Deboi, Koinim Levim Shimur. Okay, sure, I can accept that we know in general that there has to be watching, and that there has to be Koinim Levim. Shimur Kabetz takes out the word Koinim Levim Shimur. Okay, so we know that there's a passage that says that you need Shimur. Miu Masnisin Katoni, but we have to consider, the Mishnah had said, B'shloishim HaKoimis HaKoinim Shomer M'Bis Mikdash, that there were three places, we said, where the Koinim are standing guard in the Bis Mikdash. And we're going to learn in Midas, V'Alevim V'Esrim V'Echad Makim, that the Levim are standing guard in 21 places. So first of all, how does this passage tell us that there have to be dafka three places for the Kohanim? It says that people have to be standing guard. Fine. But where do we get dafka three places? And also, the Ilu B'Kruah Kohanim Levim Ba'adi Hadad Iksiv. Also, the pasuk that you just quoted, Abaya, mentions Moshe and Aaron and his sons. So that means both Levim and Kohanim together. So where do you see that the Kohanim and Levim should be guarding in different places? The answer is Amri. The answer is the B'nai HaYeshiva answer, Hachi Kamar. What the pasuk means and what Abaya meant by quoting the pasuk is like this. Let's look at the pasuk again. V'achonim lifnei hamishkan kedma. Again, those who are camped in front of the Mishkan on the east, lifnei oyel moed mizracha, on the east side of the oyel moed, Moshe is Moshe. Let's break up the pasuk there. V'hoder, and then it continues, Aaron, one of Shomer Mishmeres HaMikdash. Aaron and his sons are guarding of the Mishkan. Of the Mikdash. The Mishkan and Mikdash are kind of interchangeable terms. Meaning, and the point is, the Mefarish says that if it meant that they're all together, then it didn't have to say the word v'hachoinim. Like this one, it says v'hachoinim, lifnei hamishkan kedma, Moshe, and then we have shomrim, so you have two different verbs over there, choinim, camping, and shomrim, guarding, so that allows us to understand that you have one group or one person, namely Moshe, who's camped there, and then you have a different group, Aaron and his sons, who are guarding. So that means Moshe is in one place. The Aaron of Bonav, the Hodder Aaron of Bonav, Shemim Mishmeres HaMikdash. Then it continues, Aaron and his sons are guarding of the Mikdash, meaning Aaron b'chad makom b'vonav b'shnei makomis. So therefore, we break that down also. It means Aaron is guarding in one place, and his two sons, Elazar and Isamar, because remember, Nadav and Abihu passed away. So therefore, you have his two sons are in two other places. So that's how we get three. That's how we get three places. So in other words, you have b'chonim is Moshe, and shomrim mishmeres hamikdash. When it says Aaron of Onav, it means Aaron in one place. And Aaron in one place, and each of his two sons in a different place. So therefore, we see that you have three places for the Kohanim. Where we see that you have 21 places for the Levim. We're going to get to later in the Gemara.
That was the Mishkan.
But in general, most of the dinim that applied to the Mishkan apply to the Beis Mikdash as well. In fact, the expression in the pasuk over here is Shemri Mishmeret HaMikdash. The word Mikdash means the Beis Mikdash, although the Gemara points out that actually we find where the Mishkan is called Mikdash and vice versa, so therefore when we say over here that they were guarding the Mikdash, then it means it's not just something as a one-time thing in history that they did it for the Mishkan in the desert, it means it has to be that way in the Beis Mikdash in future generations as well. And the Gemara explains, Mimai, how do we see that that's what the pasuk means? How do we see that it means to imply that there are three different places for the Kohenim, and that there are separate places for the Kohenim and Levim? That's why, Midichtiv v'hachonim, uchtiv shomim, since the pasuk uses the expression those who camped, and then speaks of Moshe, and it says guarding, so therefore it means chonim l'chod, v'shomim l'chod, so it means there's two different groups, the ones who are camped there, meaning the Levim, and the ones who are guarding there, meaning the Kohenim. So therefore we see that the Kohenim and Levim have to be separate, and we see, since it mentioned Aaron and Vonov, then it means that there are three different places for the Kohenim.
The inverse of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Kohenim in the Beis HaMikdash, they're serving the Avodah, and the Levim are guarding, not the other way around.
No. What we're saying is that you have those guard posts for the Kohenim, and those guard posts for the Levim. What we're saying is that because the pasuk describes Moshe camping in front of the Ohel Moed, and then it describes Aaron and his sons guarding the Ohel Moed, then what it means is that you have those groups of Levim that guard, and we're going to learn later on in the Gemara on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph that we're going to talk about how we know that there are supposed to be 21 of them. And then you have also, in addition, the Kohenim are supposed to be guarding, and since it mentions Aaron and his sons, then it means Aaron is in one place and each of his sons is in a different place. So that's where we get the three guard posts of the Kohenim that we learned in our Mishnah. So the question is still, Eima Kulu B'chad Mokam L'chodeh, still, okay, it means you have to have three Kohenim, let's say. Who says that each of these Kohenim or each of these groups of Kohenim have to be in a different place? Maybe it means, maybe Xeris HaKosev, you have to have three Kohenim guarding, but they should all be together in one place. The answer is Loi Sakodai, you can't think that way, because it has to be like Moshe. After all, the Pasuk is mentioning Moshe and then Aaron, and the Pasuk is mentioning Moshe and then Aaron and his son. So therefore, Ma Moshe b'chad mokum l'chodeh, just like Moshe is in one place of his own, and we know that because the Torah distinguishes him from the Kohenim, Aaron and Avraham b'chad mokum l'chodeh, the same way, Aaron and his sons, each one is going to be in their own individual place. So therefore, we see that the pasuk doesn't just mean that Aaron and his two sons should be standing all together in the same place, it means that they should be standing in different places. Okay. Rav Ashi says there's another way that we can learn that you have three of them in different places. Misefei Dikra, you can look at the end of the pasuk where it says Shomrim Mishmeres Hamikdash, Shomrim Mishmeres L'Mishmeres. Three times in the pasuk it uses the word guarding. So Shomrim Mishmeres and L'Mishmeres. So therefore that represents that there have to be three different guard posts. Turning to Amud Beis, we said in the Mishnah, Beis Avtinus or Beis HaMikdash, we said that two of the places where the Kohenim stood watch are Beis Avtinus, which, again, we had it in the diagram on the south side of the Azara, although the Gemara in Yuma brings up the possibility that maybe it was on the north side. And the second one was Beis HaMikdash, which definitely was on the north side. We said it was the northwestern gate of the Azara. And we said in the Mishnah that they were Aliyos. We said that they had upper stories. So what does that mean? So we ask the question, Aliyos Mamashabu, does it mean literally that they were second stories? In other words, that Beis Avtinus and Beis HaMikdash were chambers in the Beis Mikdash. Beis Avtinus is where they made the Torah. Beis HaMikdash doesn't clearly state what was there. Again, we said before that the Rosh explains that the sun shone brightly in it, and therefore it was called Mikdash, which means spark. Another explanation that some of the Mephoshim say that what it is they kept a fire burning over there so that they, because there's a mitzvah, we know, even though there's a fire on the Mizbeach, Min HaShemayim, you're supposed to bring a fire, even though the fire on the Mizbeach came down from Shemayim, mitzvah lahavi min haHegit, we know that there's also a mitzvah to bring fire of our own onto the Mizbeach. So therefore, one explanation is, therefore, that they had, based on Yitzhak, they had a fire burning over there, and they would bring fire, they would bring lit They would bring lit pieces of wood or whatever from there onto the mizbeach. Anyway, so the question is, Aliyas Mamashabu, these upper stories, were they literally upper stories in the sense that Beis Avtinas was a two floor structure? So you had on the ground floor, let's say, is where Beis Avtinas made the Kodesh, and then on the upper floor is where the Kohanim are guarding. And the same thing with Beis Hamikdash. On the ground floor, there was something on the ground floor, and then there's something on the second floor. So maybe what it means is they were high up off the ground, like aliyahs, like second stories, but not that there was any actual structure underneath them. In other words, that the Rosh says they could have built, for example, on top of an artificial mound or something. Like they could have made, for example, a brick or stone substructure. And then on top of that, built this thing, so it would be sort of like a tower. Or they could have built it. They could have built it on top of pillars. Whatever it is, does it mean? So what does the word aliyah mean over here? Does it mean that, for example, there were just pillars, or just a solid structure, or whatever underneath, but no actual ground floor? So maybe they were high up off the ground like aliyahs, but they weren't necessarily actually something with an actual ground floor underneath them. So the Gemara says Toshma, Ditnan. Well, let's prove from a Mishnah that we learn in Masechta Midos, the next Masechta, where we talk about the gates of the Beis Mikdash. The Mishnah says Shabbat Sofein, on the north side of the Azara, the first gate going from the west is Shar HaNitzot, which is the same as the Beit HaNitzot we're talking about in our Mishnah. Kemin Achsadra Hoya, it was built like an Achsadra, which is like a porch or an entryway or something. There's two different possibilities. The Mefarish brings over here. One is that it means it was closed up from three. It had walls on three sides and it was completely open on the fourth. The other explanation is that an achsadra is actually, it was open on all four sides. It was just made out of pillars and it didn't have any actual structure to it other than that. The Mishnah there in Midas continues. Aliyah Bnu Yalgava, there was an upper story built above the achsadra. The Kohanim would be standing guard up above, and the Levim would be standing guard on the ground. The Mefarish understands that doesn't literally mean that the Kohanim are up above and the Levim are right below them on the ground. He learns all it means is that, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that you have to have the Kohanim are supposed to be standing guard in high places. The Levim are supposed to be standing guard at ground level. So therefore, the Mefarish over here learns that what it means is that we don't mean that the Kohanim are standing in the second story above the Shar HaNitzot, and the Levim, meanwhile, are standing in the Shar HaNitzot directly below them. We just mean, in general, that the Kohanim are standing on the second, on the superstructure over here, and the Levim are standing guard in other places at ground level. The Rosh and a number of other Mefarshim learn not like that, but it means that in this case, actually, you did have Kohanim and Levim in the same place, the Kohanim up above and the Levim below them. Anyway, it continues the Mishnah over there in Midas. Or Pesach Choyol Loy L'Choyol, this Beis HaNitzot had an opening out into the Choyol, into the less holy area of the Har HaBayis. The point is, the Gemara talks about in various places, in Pesachim and in some other places, that if you have a chamber that's built outside the floor area of the Azara, but the door of it opens into the Azara, then it's still considered to a certain extent to have the Kedusha of the Azara. If it opens outside the Azara, then it's considered it doesn't have the Kedusha of the Azara. So in this case, this Beis HaNitzot was built in such a way that it had an opening to go outside the Azara, and therefore it wouldn't have the full Kedusha of the Azara. In fact, the Ravid over here brings in his Pirush, he says that maybe one reason for that was in order that the Kohanim or Levim should be able to sit at times while they're on duty. If it had the Kedusha of the Azara, they wouldn't be allowed to sit there. Although the Ravid himself disagrees with that and says they are actually allowed to sit where it's something that's necessary for their Avodah. Anyway, the point is that we see from this Mishnah in Midas that it describes over here, it describes the Beis HaNitzot was built like an Achsadra. So therefore, that implies, in other words, that that it didn't actually have a real ground floor. It was just an open area, basically. And then above it was this aliyah where the kohen would stand guard. Different understanding the other way around, that if we're describing it as an achsadra, and the Mefarish's first explanation is that an achsadra has three walls and then it's completely open on the fourth, then it means that there was a ground floor. That three-sided thing was a ground floor where they would do whatever they do in the Beis HaMikdash, such as having the fire over there, and then you'd have on top of it was an aliyah. Okay, so in other words, there's two ways of understanding the answer in the Gemara, which actually come out, the two answers come out as opposite conclusions. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara asks, Hanimili, where do we know this, that the Kohenim was supposed to be guarding high up? So the Tanan Abana, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'yilavu Allah v'yisharasucha. The Pasuk says, Hashem tells Aaron that the Levim should join together with you and serve you. Meaning, Baba Doscha, Kosu Medaber, the Pasuk is talking about that the Levim are supposed to assist you in your Avodah. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean the Avodah of the Kohenim as in sprinkling blood on the Mizbeach and doing other such things, because Levim are not allowed to do that. So it means your Avodah of guarding the Beis Mikdash, which we just said before, is incumbent on the Kohenim as well. So the question is, after Omer Bava Doscha Akos Medaber, so you're telling me that it means that they're supposed to assist you with your Avodah of guarding, Oy Eina Ela Bava Dostam, maybe it just means that the Levim assist the Kohenim by standing guard in the various places where the Kohenim don't. How do we know that it means that there are actually places where that even when it comes to the guard posts to the Kohenim, that the Levim are assisting them? So true Omer, the new Vualacha, the next pasuk continues, they will join with you, v'shamru, l'chol kelav, l'chol abedasa, if there's actually combining together two or three different tukim or whatever, that they will join with you and they will guard the Beis Mikdash as far as everything that goes on in it, harib abedasam amr. So that's talking about that they assist in their part of the avodah, namely if they have their guard post, which the Kohenim don't have to guard there. And therefore, so to speak, like the Kohenim, there's a Levim guarding in those 21 places, so to speak, saves the Kohenim from having to guard in those places. So what does the previous pasuk mean when it says they should join with you and they will serve you? So that means, in other words, Bavei Doscha, Kosu Medaber. Obviously, it has to mean in your avodah. So even regarding the part of the, even as far as the part of the standing watch, which the Kohenim are doing, the Levim are still helping in their own way. What does that mean? How do they help? Kohenim, Shomer Milamata, or Levim Milamata. It means the Kohenim are standing watch up above, and the Levim are standing watch below.
One group serve the other when they're separated, and then one is on the top floor, the other one is the bottom floor.
That's the point. In other words, the only thing that's separating between them is that floor. So therefore, that's the idea. In other words, So there's two different things. There's the places, there's the 21 places where Levim stand guard by themselves without the Kohenim, and that's what Tosik Dalit is talking about, that they do their Avodah, meaning their guard post. And then in addition, you also have where they assist the Kohenim in the sense that the Kohenim are standing guard up above and the Levim are standing guard in the same place, so near there or whatever, down below, like ground level. So therefore, you have both.
Yeah, but at ground level, the Kohanim are not at ground level, right? The Kohanim are on the first floor.
No, the Kohanim, that's what we're saying. The Kohanim are on the top level.
Right, so how can the Levim, who are on the ground level, assist the Kohanim who are on the top level?
Well, so they're assisting in the sense like they're toppled, they're secondary to them. You have, so to speak, like the main guards of the Kohanim who are guarding up above. In fact, the Mefarish compares it over here, for example, like when you have city watchmen usually stand on a high place. So like they're doing the main job of guarding, therefore. They're standing up above, and thereby they're doing the main job of guarding the Beis Mikdash. And Levim, meanwhile, are sort of doing a secondary level of guarding. They're guarding at ground level also. So in that sense, they're assisting. Not you're right. They don't actually. They're not necessarily in view of each other or whatever. Although maybe they could be. I suppose the Kohenim could look over the railing. Let's say probably and see the Levim. But the main point is that the Kohanim are doing the primary guard duty over there because they're on the high place, which is where palace guards or city guards or whatever would usually stand on a high place, and the Leviim are doing the sort of secondary guarding by being on ground level. I think we'll stop here.
What about tomorrow?
So we have over tomorrow and Shabbos. You have over tomorrow and Shabbos. You have Shlomi Newport is going to do it. So tomorrow night, as usual, between Mincha Ma'ariv and Matzah Shabbos.
Okay.
And
Ma'ariv.
What? So tomorrow night between Mincha Ma'ariv as usual. And on Shabbos, and on what's the Shabbos?
The Shabbos, 8:30.
What's the Shabbos? What?
What time is the Shabbos?
What's the Shabbos? 8:30 probably. I'll tell them.
Yeah, 8:30. Okay.
Yeah.
Not quarter to five.
No. It's Shabbos. We're getting too early for that already.
Sunday night.
Okay. Sunday night. Sunday I don't know. Night. We'll have to work out. I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe we can do something Sunday morning over the phone. We'll see.
Okay,
we'll talk about that. I'll let you know. Yeah.
Very much.
All right. Good.